Tonight was another sold-out show for WWE as they brought SmackDown to Dallas, Texas with the big showdown. Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins in the ring together for the first time. Really in the same place together for the first time since Las Vegas. So we're going back a month at the press conference when The Rock slapped Cody Rhodes across the face. And finally, it only took a month, but Cody Rhodes finally got his comeuppance on The Rock here on SmackDown tonight. We had Cody and Seth out there, Seth Rollins out there, dressed like a member of The Shield. If Andre the Giant had been a member of The Shield, that's exactly what he would have worn. I have no idea what Seth was wearing, but it was far too big for him. The only thing missing were the big red clown shoes that we saw him wear a couple of times on TV last year. That was the only thing that Seth Rollins was missing from his wardrobe tonight. But the big news coming out of this show is that the main event for WrestleMania Night 1 in Philadelphia is now official. We knew it was going to happen, but it is now official. It will be The Rock stepping back into the ring, teaming up with Roman Reigns to take on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in a tag team match. And not only do we have the official confirmation of that match, but they went and they did something. Now, first of all, they saved the segment tonight for the main event. And it was the main event of the show. This is a very missable episode of SmackDown. I mean, they did some things to forward some stories. It was otherwise a very boring episode of SmackDown. It was all about this main event segment, but they have taken to opening the show with the Bloodline before. And I think they've done that in part to make sure that they don't run out of time. And so tonight they chose to close the show with it. Now on Fox, they have a hard end. They have a hard stop. They can't go overtime. In fact, they usually end the show a couple of minutes early because you can't go over because they got the local newscasts on Fox. And Fox isn't going to give them any kind of overrun anyway because they're already on their way out. They've got college football coming to Fox in the fall. They're going to be pushing SmackDown off to FS1 the last month. They don't give a shit. They've already got one foot out the door with Fox. But it's always a risk because what we saw tonight is the way these segments typically go, where we get very little dialogue, and it really is at least half, if not more than half, the segment is taken up by entrances and commercials. And tonight was no different. So we didn't get a lot in the way of dialogue, and the way they left things at the end of the show was kind of underwhelming, but they left you wanting more. There is something to be said for leaving the viewer to want to come back the following week to find out what happened or to find out what the next page in the book is going to be. It still felt underwhelming, like we just didn't get enough. There just wasn't enough meat on the bone, even though the whole point of this was to set up the main event of Night 1. But they did something else in this segment that I don't like. They did something else that they will occasionally do, and it drives me nuts when they do it. And this is in any wrestling company, but WWE has done this many times before. During the segment, they had Rock. Now, we've heard Rock before tell Cody, "I, as a member of the board, am going to do everything in my power to make sure that you do not walk out of WrestleMania the WWE champion," or he keeps saying the Universal champion, but the WWE champion, right? And that's fine. I have no problem with that. Tonight, though, they took it one step further. And what they did was they had Roman Reigns and The Rock, but The Rock sort of drove the point home because, you know, he's the authority and he can make these kinds of decisions. But what they had him do is tell Cody Rhodes in no uncertain terms that if you do not win the championship at WrestleMania, if you do not walk out of Night 2 with that WWE title, you will never again be able to challenge for the WWE championship. And how hilarious would it be if Cody Rhodes, they made the same mistake twice with Cody Rhodes, because that's one of the things he admits in hindsight was a huge fuck up on his part in AEW. Early in AEW, he had that match with Chris Jericho. MJF ended up costing him the match, and he could never again challenge for the AEW World Championship. And he wanted to live up to that stipulation, and he said, no, that's it. I can't ever again challenge, so I'm going to make the TNT title my own thing. And that was one of the things that ended up working against Cody during his run in AEW, was the fact that no matter how popular he may have gotten, if they wanted to keep to the stipulation, you already handicapped yourself because this guy can't challenge for your top championship. It was very stupid. And he admits that in hindsight. So how funny would it be if he ends up in two different companies, banned from fighting for the top championship. That would be pretty stupid. But there's just no reason to do that, because all you do in that situation is you give away the finish. Now, I already thought that Cody Rhodes was going to finish the story and walk away WWE champion on night two at WrestleMania. So for me, it doesn't really change anything. But still, did we need Rock to go out there? Did we need him to say it in no uncertain terms that either you win or you can't ever fight for this belt again? He didn't say that if you don't win, you can never fight for the championship again so long as Roman Reigns is the champion. That's not what he said. You can never again fight for that title if you do not win it at WrestleMania. All you're doing is giving away the finish on night two. They've already spoiled the outcome, I believe, for night two of WrestleMania. But I thought it was inevitable anyway. So that's the one main nitpick I had with what they did, because they put themselves in these situations sometimes where it's like anybody was asking for that stipulation to even be added. It doesn't really add much to the story. I mean, in their mind, it might add more adversity to Cody's story. Hasn't this guy faced enough adversity to get to where he is now? He won the Royal Rumble, and for a while there, it didn't even look like he was going to get his title match at WrestleMania. How much more adversity do you need to pile on this man? I would not have done that. I thought that was totally uncalled for. But outside of that closing segment, like I said, a very missable episode of SmackDown tonight. But we'll talk about the entire thing. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review. It is March 8th, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Like and subscribe. 450 is the likes goal tonight. I think we're well on our way to that. So thank you for that. Just make sure you hit that thumbs up. Super chats are open. There is a brand new Coltar. We got Gunthar at 50. Now we got Coltar at 51. They're like brothers, stepbrothers. So anyway, those super chats are open, and we'll go through them a little bit later on here on the stream. But first, let's get into this SmackDown show. Let's just barrel on right in, because SmackDown opened tonight with shots of The Rock arriving to the building in Dallas earlier this afternoon. He arrived in his pickup truck, and he had a cowboy hat on. He cut a promo, I should mention this, earlier today. We got another long social media promo from The Rock. This one wasn't 21 minutes long, but it was about 10 minutes long. And I don't know where he was. He was in some kind of smaller arena, I guess somewhere in Dallas where they have the rodeo or something. It looked like an empty arena there. I don't believe it was the arena they were in tonight. I mean, I guess it's possible, but it didn't look like the building they were in tonight. But he wore a cowboy hat for the entire promo, and again, just shitting all over Cody Rhodes and fuck your story and, you know, shitting all over Seth Rollins, which is not all that hard to do, especially when you see him on the show tonight walking out there looking the way that he was looking. I mean, look at him here. Look at him in the artwork that we have. That was him from Monday night where he walked out like a neon green highlighter. Tonight he went all black, but again, I just don't understand what he was wearing tonight. I don't get it. So anyway, it was an entertaining promo. And again, on social media, he's not restricted by language or anything. So he was, you know, cussing up a storm and popping off on them. And again, telling Cody, fuck your story.
Fuck your story.
So it was entertaining enough. So that's on social media if you missed it. But he didn't wear the cowboy hat to the ring tonight. Like, we got it in the backstage segment here when he got to the building. And security was following him around. He had a horde of security geeks that were behind him, as per Nick Aldis. And we saw the same thing with Roman Reigns. They show the times that they're arriving at the building, and you see security watching Roman. Roman's like, what are you guys doing? And then they showed Cody arriving earlier in the day, and he met up with Seth Rollins. Nick Aldis was there with his security crew to follow them along, to make sure that there was no funny business on the show from these guys. Wait until I get to that segment later on. What a great security staff that Nick Aldis employed here on this show. They had one job. We started, though, with the United States champion, Logan Paul, coming down to the ring, and the crowd immediately gave him the what treatment. He laughed. You could tell it kind of bothered him at first. He usually plays it off pretty well, but you could tell it threw him off a little bit, so he kind of laughed and basically said, boy, you guys suck. But he kept going, and he took credit for WWE's business boom. He mentioned that he wrestled his first WrestleMania 2 years ago. It was right here in Dallas, and that was the tag team match. It was Logan Paul and The Miz against Rey and Dominic Mysterio 2 years ago already. Think of how good this guy is in the ring in the span of 2 years. To go from that, his very first match, to where he is now, and not just his in-ring work, but just the way he carries himself, his promo. I mean, he always had a big mouth, so him cutting promos and being good at it is not all that much of a surprise. But just the way that he carries himself and presents himself and his mannerisms and then his in-ring ability, it's pretty incredible to see the progress that he has made in such a short period of time. So he called himself a conqueror. He said that he would make history tonight. He said he didn't join WWE just to take part. He joined WWE to take over. Then he said he had a surprise for everyone and he asked for a drum roll. And should we give him a drum roll? Do I have the drum roll here? No, I don't. I don't have it here. That's for Be the Booker later. But they gave him a drum roll, and I didn't know what was coming. And then you see part of the ring. You could tell that there was a mat of some kind. They pulled the mat away, and it matched the color of the actual canvas. But they pulled it away to reveal a giant bottle of Prime. Dead center in the middle of the ring, and it was just the logo. It was the logo of the Prime bottle, because that's his drink, that's his energy drink. And he said that it's true, his company Prime Hydration has partnered with WWE to be its first ever center ring sponsor. That's what he called them. They are the center ring sponsor, starting at WrestleMania 40 and every PLE from then on out. And I think they've already put a press release out to make it official. This is something that WWE has never done before. Vince McMahon was always resistant to this. He did not want to have any kind of branding around ringside. WCW used to do that, you know, when they had Snickers and they had Slim Jim as a sponsor on their pay-per-views, you know, Halloween Havoc and some of these other shows. They would have the Slim Jim logo or the Snickers logo dead center in the ring. I think they had branding on the turnbuckles, possibly. And Vince McMahon was always resistant. He wanted a clean ring. He wanted things that he wanted everything to be clean, everything except his text messages. He wanted everything to be clean. Well, when Endeavor took over, I think it was Mark Shapiro, the COO, he made it very clear that we are very much interested in having branding in the ring and around the ring. So it was only a matter of time. I honestly was shocked it took them this long to do this, because we have the LED boards outside and now they have the ads there. They have these sponsored matches. Remember the Cinnamon Toast Crunch match, and they put the branding everywhere. This just seemed inevitable. They have it in other sports, in UFC. UFC falls under Endeavor and TKO. And so now they're going to have it in WWE. I'll be surprised if we don't see it on the turnbuckles very soon. I think the turnbuckles are next. You'll have little logos on there. And not the WWE ones. Or maybe in one corner, you'll have the WWE logos on the turnbuckles. And then in the opposite corner, but then the other two maybe is a different sponsor. So it's just the way of the world. It's another way for them to make money. Can't fault them for that. I don't really care either way. Honestly, for anybody who's bothered by it, after a certain period of time, I think it'll just become second nature and people won't even notice it. So then he introduced his partner in crime, KSI. KSI, you may recall, was dressed up as a giant bottle of Prime in Hollywood at WrestleMania last year. And it was actually one of the funnier moments for WrestleMania, because I think he was laid out across the, if I remember the spot, Logan Paul was up on the top rope. And I think it was Rollins who, at the last minute, pulled KSI on top of the announce desk. And he couldn't move because he's in this giant costume. And then Logan Paul launched himself off and he crashed through KSI. So he was in the crowd. He hopped over the barricade and he got into the ring. They were about to take a photo op together in the ring when Randy Orton's music hit. And so they're waiting for Randy Orton to make his way out to the ring. No Randy Orton until he slithered out from under the ring. He got into the ring. He went to go RKO Logan Paul. Logan, though, escaped, and he got out of the ring, but that left KSI in the ring all by himself. And he had his back turned to Orton, but I think he kind of knew, you know, his goose was cooked. He kind of accepted his fate. Turned around, and he took actually a very good RKO bump, I thought. So Orton laid him out. And then Orton looked down. There was a bottle of Prime that KSI had in his hand. And he had dropped it. He had thrown it down on the mat earlier. So Orton looks down. He grabs the bottle of Prime. And he took a swig. And then he looked over at Logan and said, actually, this tastes really good. And it was so good that instead of finishing it, he poured the rest of the bottle out on KSI's crotch. You know, it was smart what they did here, because Logan Paul is hated, right? Logan Paul is a heel. But Logan Paul is also the face of Prime. He's promoting his product, even though people are supposed to hate this man's guts and they want to boo him. And that automatically makes Prime a heel. And so what they did was, they probably figured that some people might not be all that enthusiastic about seeing branding in the ring right there dead center in the middle of the ring. And they designed the segment as a way to get heat. So the heat was on Prime because of its attachment to Logan Paul. So I thought that was kind of smart. But we'll see other sponsors as well in the future. Obviously, they have some kind of agreement for pay-per-views. But before long, you're going to get it on Raw. You're going to get a dead center in the ring on SmackDown, right? Think of their other sponsors that you see, right? Snickers, actually, funny enough, is Snickers and Slim Jim. I see some things don't change. Snickers and Slim Jim were big WCW sponsors in 1996 and 1997. Here we are in 2024, and before long, we may well see Snickers and Slim Jim logos on the mat in a WWE ring. Some things never change. Now, Orton stayed out there at ringside for the first match because he was teaming up with Kevin Owens to take on Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Theory landed a shotgun dropkick on Owens, who rolled to the floor to regroup. Waller tagged in. He knocked Orton off the apron first. Then he slid out of the ring on the opposite side, and he clobbered Kevin Owens with a sliding lariat. That took us into the commercial break. The heels hit a double suplex on Owens as the show came back. Waller was mocking Orton. He was setting up for the RKO. He dropped down. He's banging on the mat. And Owens was able to avoid it. He knocked Theory from the apron. Then he tagged in Orton. Snap power slam on Waller. He set up for the draping DDT. Theory broke it up. Owens hit a rolling senton off the apron. That took out Austin Theory. Orton finally hit the DDT. So Orton fired up. And he started teasing an RKO. Theory, though, jumped back on the apron. He broke things up again. Waller rolled up Orton from behind, only got a near fall. Owens got back in the ring. Stunner to Grayson Waller. And then we got the assisted RKO, a pop-up RKO. Owens provided the pop-up. Austin Theory went up. And Randy Orton caught him on the way down with an RKO. We've been getting some pretty badass RKOs since Randy Orton came back, I will say. Not as good as the rolling RKO that Austin Theory got caught with. I think it was last week. That was fantastic. But this was pretty cool too. Orton covered him and got the win. The crowd loved the finish. Now, when the match was over, Logan Paul jumped both men from behind, Owens and Orton. He tried to hit Orton with the brass knuckles, which is his weapon of choice. Orton, though, grabbed his hand and stole the knucks away. He put them on his own fist and he went to go clobber Logan with it, but he ducked. He got out of the way. Orton had to stop himself because he almost hit Kevin Owens. And the two of them exchanged glares. Orton took the knucks. He put them in his tights. And Logan Paul escaped. And it's very clear where we're going now for WrestleMania. We are headed towards a triple threat match. And it will be Logan Paul defending the United States Championship against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. That much seems clear. Look, it gets Owens a prime position on the show at WrestleMania. See what I did there? It gets him a prime position on the show because otherwise he wouldn't have one because there really is no other spot for him. He's been feuding now for months with Logan Paul. And so, and after Elimination Chamber, it was clear they were setting up Orton and Logan. If you don't put Owens in there, what else is he going to do? You know, it's kind of like Sami Zayn, but at least Sami Zayn has some kind of a story, right? He wants to make history. He wants to win a championship. So he's going to be involved in this Intercontinental Gauntlet on Raw Monday night. But if he doesn't win, let's say Chad Gable wins, Sami Zayn is another one. I don't know what role there is for him at WrestleMania. And, you know, you think back to where we were a year ago, where Owens and Zayn were involved in one half of the WrestleMania main event on night one. They were involved in that Bloodline story. They were building that match for months. Them, you know, inevitably challenging the Usos for the tag team titles. And now it looks like, you know, as far as WrestleMania this year, Owens' role is pretty secure. Sammy, I'm not so sure about. You know, we'll see. Because honestly, not to get back to Raw here, but I'm very much pulling for Chad Gable to pull out the win in that gauntlet on Monday. I'm actually looking forward to that match a lot. I think the potential is there for that to be very good, given some of the talent involved. Bronson Reed is in there. Ricochet is in there. Sammy's got his story. Gable has his. And it's a three-hour show. So, I mean, they could give that match 45 to an hour with commercials if they want to. We got a recap of the angle from last week where Dakota Kai turned on Bayley and aligned or realigned, I guess I should say. I guess she never wasn't aligned with Damage Control, as it turned out. That led to a sit-down backstage interview here tonight with Kayla Braxton and Bayley. And she said that Dakota used her history or their history together against them. And she manipulated Bayley, and she unfortunately fell for. Well, she's a dumb shit, because how did she not see that coming? This is the woman who obviously telegraphed what Damage Control was going to do to her a few weeks ago. And somehow, even despite the reservations that she said she had about Dakota Kai a few weeks ago, it caught her completely by surprise. And here I thought Bayley was not going to fall victim to dumb babyface syndrome, and yet here she is. So she says she fell for it. Kayla asked her what she thinks about the people who say that maybe she had it coming. And Bayley said that she's made a lot of enemies over the past few years. She said she was only trying to get to the top, but really she was doing it for Damage Control. And now it's all backfiring on her and she's paying for it. And now she's all alone. Aw. Bayley is all by herself. Well, don't worry, Bayley, because your girl Mercedes admitted today that she's coming back to WWE eventually, which I'm sure pleased Tony Khan to no end. Here, less than a week away from this woman making her big debut in Boston on Wednesday night next week, I'm sure that he was just delighted to hear Mercedes go on a podcast and admit, I'm going to be back in WWE. It's just a matter of time. Of course I'm going to go back there. And yes, of course she is going to go back there. We all know she's eventually going to go back there. Everybody does. But should you really be saying that right before you make your debut in AEW? Unfortunately for Bayley, she won't be back early enough, though, to help her out for WrestleMania. So she said that Damage Control made the biggest mistake of their life by underestimating her. She said that she can adapt. She built Damage Control with all of her heart, and she will do everything in her soul to break them. So they cut away to a shot of Naomi in the back, watching this interview on a monitor. And Bianca Belair shows up and asks her, why are you watching Bayley crying on TV? And Naomi said, I don't know, you know, I feel sorry for her. Bianca had no sympathy whatsoever for Bayley. None. She said that she did this to herself. She said Bayley literally created Damage Control, and now she's in the same position that she put Bianca in for the past 2 years. And she told Naomi, you weren't here, so you didn't see the mess that Bayley created. And the way that she sees it, she made her bed, and now she's got to lay in it. Bianca was having none of that. And honestly, it was refreshing to see, because she's still a babyface for now. You could say that she was acting a little heelish here, but really what she was saying made total sense. She had a real human reaction. If this other woman had spent the better part of the last year and a half making your life a living hell and fighting you and challenging you and costing you championships. And then her own friends turned against her, stabbed her in the back. If you're Bianca Belair, why do you give a shit? Why all of a sudden do you have sympathy for Bayley or want to help Bayley? Oh, poor Bayley, poor Bayley. Right? No, Bianca had exactly the reaction that I would have. That doesn't make me a heel. That just makes me a normal fucking human being. So I agree with her 100%. She has no reason to feel bad about this. But in Naomi, it looks like Bayley has probably found an ally. And look, Bianca may end up helping too. Even though she seemed resistant to the idea here, I think she may end up helping because, look, there's a reason why she was involved in this segment. If Bianca is going to go heel, which I am all in favor of, because I think that just what they have her doing, she feels very stale right now, like she's hit a wall. And so that would be a nice way of shaking things up for her and give her some new people to work with on the babyface side instead of being a babyface. But let's say she was going to go heel. She's not joining Damage Control, right? So if that was going to happen, that's not going to happen until after WrestleMania. So she may well end up being involved here. The question is, do we see Jade Cargill align with them in this effort against Damage Control? Because remember last week on TV, when they showed Damage Control, they were walking through the back, they bumped into Jade. They had a little run-in last week until Nick Aldis pulled her back into his office. And remember the idea that I pitched? The idea that I floated was Bianca and Jade joined together as a team to challenge Asuka and Kairi at WrestleMania for the women's tag team titles. And probably win them, which I know would piss some people off because, and I actually couldn't believe this, but I was reminded of this the other day that in all her years in WWE and all the WrestleMania matches that she has had, I believe that Asuka has yet to win a match at WrestleMania. I believe that is true. And so what, I don't know what her record would be, probably 0-5 or 0-6 at this point. There are some people who are desperately hoping that Asuka can finally win a WrestleMania match this year. But like Sasha Banks was in the same boat. I think she finally won one when she was teamed up with Naomi. I think that was actually her last WrestleMania match. But for a while there, I think Sasha was like 0-5 or 0-6 at WrestleMania. She couldn't win a WrestleMania match to save her life. Based on this segment here, you know what wouldn't shock me at all? We don't get a tag team title match. What we may end up getting is Jade, Naomi, and Bianca in a six-person tag, a trios match, against Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota. So that way, all the members of Damage Control have a chance to work WrestleMania, right? We already know Io is defending her title. Dakota just got cleared. She's actually wrestling Bayley next week. And so if they want to get everybody in a match, we may end up with a trios match and no title defense. We had Bobby Lashley one-on-one with Karrion Kross. Lashley and Kross, they entered without their respective factions, although Kross had Scarlett with him. Lashley clotheslined him out of the ring. He threw Kross into the barricade. Then he got him on his shoulders, and he teased throwing him into the ring post. Scarlett, though, stood in his way, and so he set Kross down. And that gave Kross the opening to throw Lashley, or maybe he slipped out. I don't remember if he set him down or he slipped out. But in any event, Kross landed on his feet, and he ended up shoving Lashley into the ring post, and that took us into a commercial break. Now, coming out of that break, this was actually very cool. It came out of the break, and we had this great camera shot. They've been making use of this. We've seen this on Raw, too, in recent weeks. And funny enough, I've seen AEW doing this as well. I think they had a camera shot like this at Revolution. But they had the camera start in the aisleway as they were coming out of break. And in one continuous motion, one continuous shot, they had the camera come down to the ring and then circle around the ring, focusing on what was going on. Kross had a chin lock or a submission hold or something on Lashley. And they kind of wrapped around the ring, just one continuous shot for a good 60 seconds. They had this shot until they finally switched back to the hard cam. Not a single camera cut. And by the way, I've noticed a lot fewer camera cuts on these shows. That's one of the great production changes that I have seen. They're not ever going to be totally eliminated, right? There's a place for them. My whole issue with them is just how overused they were in the Kevin Dunn era. That is one of the welcome changes that we have had on the production side since he, you know, left the company, right? Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, is fewer camera cuts. But this was just one continuous, uninterrupted shot, which I thought looked very cool. That cross set Lashley out of the ring. The fight continued outside. Lashley was able to recover, and he sent Cross into the ring post. Back inside, Cross avoided a spear. He had a modified Death Valley driver for a close two count. Lashley tried to get the Hurt Lock applied, but Cross was able to escape. He set up for a spear. AOP show up, and they attack Lashley for the disqualification. Lashley had a nasty, I don't know if it was a cut or a scrape. It was next to his pec. It was like on his arm. But like not on the side of his arm. It was like on the front. And it looked like the skin was ripped off because it was all red. Like you can see the epidermis. And he had blood. So it must have been a cut, I guess. I don't know. All I know is I'm looking at that. I didn't see how it happened. But boy, when they pour the alcohol on that, that's going to sting like a bitch. So Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, they ran out for the save. They took down Akam and Rezar. Scarlett tried to save Cross from the Hurt Lock. Lashley turned around, and of course Lashley can't do anything to her, so they're just sort of staring at each other. And that gave B-Fab enough time to show up. And what did the five fingers say to the face? There you go. She smacked Scarlett right across the face, and she ran Scarlett off. AOP eventually got back in the ring. They beat down Lashley after he did finally get the Hurt Lock applied, even though the match is already over. And Cross was able to finish things off with the final prayer. And I will continue to say, every time I see him hit this finish, I will continue to say that the pump handle lift up that Cross does at the beginning of this move is completely unnecessary. All he needs to do is hoist his opponent up on his shoulder. Because then all he does really is he kind of spins him when he drops him on the way down. But like he goes through this whole pump handle thing, and Lashley is a big guy. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to, you know, get him up for it. But he does the pump handle, and then I'm like, you pump handle the guy up onto your shoulder, and it's not even like it's quick, right? It's not like Will Ospreay in there where everything is so quick and fast. It's like, dude, just pick him up. What do you got to make it more complicated for? So he drops Lashley, and the final testament were left looking dominant. I actually thought the match itself was pretty good up until the DQ. It was not a bad match, but I'm just done with this feud. I'm already done with this feud. I'm just finished with it. I don't find anything about this interesting in the slightest. I just don't. And I am ready for Lashley, mainly Lashley, more than anybody else. I'm ready for him to move on to something else. Unfortunately, there's just not enough time, I don't think, to get him involved in another program before WrestleMania. And you can't leave Lashley off the WrestleMania card in 2023 and then leave him off the card again in 2024. I mean, that's just not right. But I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, the most obvious thing, I guess, would be just to book a six-man tag, which I kind of feel like we already had that. I mean, I don't even know anymore. I know they teased it 1 week and then we didn't get it. Did we end up getting the six-man tag on TV within the last few weeks? I honestly don't even remember. Because otherwise, I mean, I guess that's the match to do at WrestleMania. You do a trios match. You do Lashley and the Street Profits against Cross and AOP. That's it. But this whole final testament thing, this was kind of a reboot for Karrion Kross. It was aligning him with other people in his own faction. Paul Ellering is with them. Paul Ellering says nothing. He is a mute. So he's just sort of out there for moral support. And I just don't see anything about this group that is engaging or interesting in any way, shape, or form. And I will continue to say it, that if you're going to try something with Karrion Kross, just let him and Scarlett be themselves. If that means they turn babyface, then so be it. Because I've seen them in videos on their YouTube channel, WWE's YouTube channel, out of character, just being themselves. And frankly, I find them more charismatic and engaging that way than I do any of this bullshit. I don't see this lasting very long. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. That's just how I feel. I don't see how this is going to last any length of time. Now, the announcers recap Rey Mysterio's return last week, and they showed footage of Dragon Lee hanging out with the LWO backstage after the show last week. They aired this, I guess, on SmackDown Lowdown, which drops on Peacock on Saturdays. It's basically like what Smack Talk or Talking Smack used to be after SmackDown would go off the air. Now they tape something and they air it on Saturday morning. But I saw Dragon Lee there. I said, oh, he's back. You know, Dragon Lee was getting a pretty decent push there for a while, and then he vanished off the face of the earth. I have no idea. I don't know if it was a visa issue. I don't know what the deal was, but he disappeared. I know he has not, until tonight, he had not worked a match since the NXT Vengeance Day show, which was over a month ago. It's been 5 weeks. But he's back now. We come back live. Dragon Lee is in the back. He's on the phone with somebody who's never identified. And Electra Lopez is standing there. He bumps into her, and she mocks him for thinking that he could be the next Rey Mysterio. Legado del Fantasma appeared. They taunted him, and they called him a wannabe. Angel Garza. He ended up getting shoved to the ground. He looked like a kid in high school who just gets shoved to the ground. They steal his lunch money. They bully him, and they walk away. And Angel knelt down, and he basically said that he would see him out there later. So we knew we were getting a match later in the show. We had Tiffany Stratton one-on-one with Meechan, coming off Stratton's win over Naomi last week. Naomi has not had a good run since she came back at the Royal Rumble. She was in the Rumble for a good amount of time. She looked good that night, and then ever since, I mean, she was the first one eliminated in the chamber. Then she lost to Tiffany last week. So Tiffany's the one who has all the momentum right now. Stratton hit a cartwheel splash into the corner, followed by a running stomp. Later on, there was a Styles Clash attempt by Meechan that got reversed with an Alabama slam by Stratton. And the prettiest moonsault ever followed. She had a little misstep there when she went to go initiate. You know, she jumps from turnbuckle to turnbuckle, rope to rope. She didn't slip, really. She just didn't set herself right. So she just took a second, and she started over again. And then she hit the picture-perfect moonsault. And she secured the win. So this was another good showcase win for Tiffany Stratton. You could see her star rising a little bit more each week. She comes out and gets a very mixed reaction. It's not like an all-heel, boo, we hate you reaction. She has quite a few people cheering her when she comes out. And I don't know if at some point that may influence their booking. Because I don't think she should be a babyface. Not yet. Eventually she will be. Everybody turns, right? At some point, everybody, unless you're Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who just, there was no way he could ever turn. He may be the only one. Him and Tito Santana. You can't turn those guys heel. Come on. Nobody wants to boo Tito Santana. Nobody wants to boo Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. It's just not going to happen. But most everybody else at some point turns. Just ask Big Show. But you could see her star rising bit by bit, week by week. And I hope they come up with something for her to do at WrestleMania. If Bianca and Naomi are both going to be involved with the damage control stuff, I don't know what else Tiffany would do. There's no other obvious opponent for her. The match I'm hoping that they do is Bianca and Tiffany, because that's the most obvious match. If Bianca is occupied, there really is nobody else. You know, these other people like Meechan and Zelina Vega, she's already worked them on TV. Even, you know, B-Fab even is involved with Scarlett, and everybody else is accounted for. There's really nobody else for her to work with. So maybe we'll get Bianca and Tiffany, but a lot of that depends on whether or not Bianca is involved with the damage control storyline. We got an AJ Styles video. This fucking guy just doesn't want to come back to work. We got a video from him. He was not there live. He was sitting in a stairwell, though, which would have been backstage at an arena somewhere. I don't know where, but he explained why he flew across the world to do what he did at Elimination Chamber when he attacked LA Knight. He said it's simple. He watched LA Knight walk around like he owned the place, but in reality, he doesn't deserve to be in the same locker room with. Even he has to admit, though, that he thought his shtick was funny. Or as AJ said, his stick. What stick is he talking about exactly? I don't know, but it sounded like he said stick. His stick was funny. Until he had the audacity to steal momentum at AJ's expense. He understands this is a cutthroat place to be, but he thinks Knight is an under-talented, overachieving loudmouth, desperately in need of a humbling. And he is a phenomenal choice for the job. So in this segment, he talked about LA Knight's stick, and he talked about humbling this man. I don't know what kind of match AJ Styles is looking for here, but I don't know if I necessarily want to see that. They cut back to LA Knight Live. He was sitting on a chair in the back watching this promo. He stood up, he slammed the TV on the floor, and then he hit it a few times with the chair that he was sitting on. And he said that if AJ had a pair, he would show up next week. I hope he does. Because if this man can fly halfway around the world to Perth, there's no reason why he can't be on television here. And it really struck me here when I saw Knight in the back. You know, you look at everything on this show tonight. Everything is built around Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth. They have some other stories playing out. Logan Paul and Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Legato, right? Escobar and Rey. And then there's LA Knight. And LA Knight has cooled off considerably as far as how they have they been using him over the last several weeks. And there's LA Knight. What's he doing? He's walking around in the backstage area asking people last week if they've seen AJ Styles. And then this week, he assaults a television. He beat up a TV. So I think it's safe to say that they have cooled this man off quite a bit. And I was hoping that we would get LA Knight and Logan Paul at WrestleMania. I thought that was the match to do. And now we're not getting it. And so instead we'll get AJ and LA Knight, which is, you know, whatever. It's a fine undercard match. Over the years, we get these undercard matches like that. We had AJ Styles and Randy Orton 1 year. We had Randy Orton and Kane 1 year, right? That was back at WrestleMania 28, I think. It's just a match to throw on the undercard. That's it. And I hope they come back around to the idea of doing Logan Paul and LA Knight, maybe by SummerSlam for the U.S. title. That's if LA Knight has not cooled off even more by then, which is certainly a possibility. We had Dragon Lee against Angel of Legado del Fantasma. Lee floored Angel with a shotgun dropkick as soon as the bell rang. He got Angel with another dropkick in the corner. Angel faked him out, though, feigned a knee injury, and was able to take advantage. After a break, Lee hit Angel with a sit-out powerbomb. He struggled on this one. He struggled to pick him up. He didn't go up the right way at first, then he struggled again, and I'm like, this is not looking good. But then he muscled him up the third time, and he hit the sit-out powerbomb, got a big pop for it, the announcers put it over. I actually think it ended up making the move more impressive, because he had to muscle him up, and he did, and he finally hit the powerbomb. Lee climbed the top rope, Angel intercepted him, and Angel got trapped upside down. He ended up eating a double stomp. Angel rolled outside to Humberto. I refuse to call him Berto. Yeah, the Juliet, thank you. Thank you very much. I refuse to call him Berto, which is what they're calling him now. They've chopped off the first half of his name, or the first part of his name. Now he's just Berto. And every time I say it, I think of Bert from Sesame Street. So every fucking time I look at this guy now on TV, all I think is Bert and Ernie, Angel and Berto. And I can't think of anything else. I can't get it out of my head. I'll call him Bert, but I will not call him Berto. So they both got taken out by a diving Dragon Lee. Back inside, a powerbomb attempt by Angel got countered into a Hurricane Rana by Lee for the win. That's the same way Rey Mysterio used to win his matches back in the day. After the match, Legado del Fantasma, they attacked Dragon Lee. Corey Graves made it very clear on commentary that the LWO was not there, so they were not going to be able to come out and help this man. Escobar, Angel, and Humberto, they slammed Lee with a modified triple powerbomb. Dragon Lee, the back of his head, boy, did it smack the mat. And Escobar told Rey Mysterio, don't come back. Well, the joke's on him, because Rey Mysterio's return has already been announced for next Friday's show. We got a promo backstage from Damage Control. This episode of SmackDown is brought to you by the letter O. That's right. Just get them all on here. We'll get the Count. We'll get Grover, Oscar, Snuffleupagus, Big Bird. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I recently bought a retro handheld device. Lets me play thousands of old video games on it. And it's smaller than the size of my hand. This thing is incredible. But you can best believe that I am taking good care of this thing. I've got my case. It came with a screen protector. Because it might be okay without that stuff, but the minute the screen gets scratched up, I'm going to regret that I didn't do all I could to protect this thing. It's a lot like going online without ExpressVPN. You might be okay without it, but all it takes is one problem, and you're going to be kicking yourself that you did not protect yourself from the very start. Every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, in a cafe somewhere, at the airport, in your hotel room, your data is not secure. Anyone with enough know-how on that same network can easily steal your information, and that includes passwords and important financial details. It doesn't take much knowledge to do it. A teenager could do it. And your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your info on the dark web. So why should you be using ExpressVPN? Because it creates an encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It's also easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. That's it. And it works on all devices like phones, laptops, tablets, so you can stay secure while you're on the go. The thing I love the most about ExpressVPN and really appreciate is just how easy it is to use. I don't even have to think about it. I just click one button and it takes care of the rest for me. And that's important to me because I do so many things online. If any of that was compromised, it would be a huge headache to have to deal with all that. Now I don't need to worry about it. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. Dakota Kai declared herself the brains of the group. Asuka and Io, Asuka, Io, and Kairi, in Japanese with subtitles, they bragged about how Bayley was never part of their vision. Io said it was always about Io's era, and Dakota said that she would see Bayley in the ring next week. Now, elsewhere, Nick Aldis went to go check on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in their locker room to go let them know that it was time to make their way out for the main event. And you saw all the security geeks outside, and Nick Aldis opens the door, and what does he find? Nothing. There is nobody inside. And he steps outside, and he asks them, because they were supposed to be guarding the door, and he asks all the geeks, where are they? And one of the security geeks goes, I don't know. You had one job. Guard the door. Make sure they don't leave. What did they do? Did they climb to a vent in the ceiling, Die Hard style, like John McClane? Apparently, that's what they did. I could picture Cody Rhodes in his suit, climbing on his forearms, trying to make their way into the arena to evade security. Doesn't take a lot with these security people. I saw somebody in the chat. I don't know who it was earlier before I went live, but somebody made a comment about, if you were to take the WWE security geeks and the AEW medical staff and have them in a face-off, right, who would look more idiotic? Who would look more inept? I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer for that. It could be the AEW referees, too, by the way, not just the medical staff. But then it was time. It was bloodline time. Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, Jimmy Uso, and Solo Sikoa made their entrance. Solo stopped to sing the national anthem. He didn't, but I kind of wish he did. Roman stood in the ring, and the lights went out. And they played The Rock's music, got a big pop. And there's a new entrance for The Rock. I assume this will be his new entrance whenever he comes out here on TV, where Rock is already standing on stage, and they have lightning bolts zapping throughout the arena. See, we came with a special graphics effects here. We got the visual effects here on this stream. See, there you go. There's some lightning for you. That's what you do when you only have 5 minutes to put something together here on this stream, right? I'll stop that. Give people a fucking seizure. So we got lightning bolts coming out from the sky like the Undertaker is back. And he had a new vest on this week. It was not the same vest from a few weeks ago, but he had a new Versace vest on. So he comes on down to the ring. Roman said, "Dallas, Texas, greatness stands before you now." And he put his hand out, and Rock grabbed his hand, and they embraced. And then Roman asked the crowd to acknowledge us. You like the production value here? It's right. I spare no expense. I spare no expense here on these streams. Want to know where your super chats are going? It's those great visual effects right there. So get them on in. So Cody's music interrupted the party, but he did not enter his usual way. They showed him entering through the crowd, coming down the stairs, followed by Seth Rollins, and they cut to one last commercial break. It was 9:47 p.m. When they came back, I didn't see what time it was. It was probably 9:51. Cody and Seth were just first getting into the ring, and I don't know what the hell Seth Rollins was wearing. I really don't. He was dressed in all black. He had shades on. And he was in these oversized clown pants and a coat that looked like it was four times his size. I don't even know if it was a coat or a vest. It kind of looked like an overgrown tactical vest. That's why I said earlier it looked like he was out there in Shield gear. If Andre the Giant had joined the Shield, it looked like he would have. He took Andre's Shield vest and pants and put them on, and that's what he would look like. Cody said that he knows things are tense, but he feels very lucky to be standing in this ring, and the four of us, all of us here, should take a moment to feel this here in a sold-out Dallas, Texas. It looked like a garbage bag. You know what? It did look like he was wearing it like a hefty bag. He should take that outfit, throw it in the fucking garbage when this segment was over. So Cody said, "Rock, I've heard your challenge for WrestleMania, but I gotta ask, do you have the authority to make that stipulation?" He's only asking because it was last week he acknowledged Roman as his tribal chief. Said, "You wanted an answer about WrestleMania face-to-face, so here's our answer." Rock cut him off and told him to shut his mouth. And he told the walking clown show to shut his mouth before he even has a chance to open it. Before Cody goes and says something stupid by accepting their challenge, he said, "Let me drop some gospel on your ass right now." And the crowd cheered. The crowd cheered The Rock tonight more than they have in the last few weeks. He seems to be getting more over as a babyface with each passing week, which is not shocking because when you have Seth Rollins go out there, for example, on Monday night, and his big comeback to Dwayne is to say Diarrhea Dwayne, and you have Rock cutting these social media promos where he's calling him all kinds of names that you can't say on TV. He just looks cooler. He sounds cooler. You know, it's like the battle of, it really does. It feels like the battle of the Attitude Era against the PG Era. And the Attitude Era in a promo battle is going to win out every time, okay? There's just no way around it. So Rock seems to be getting more over with each passing week. He said he acknowledged Roman Reigns because that's what family does. WrestleMania Night 1. If Cody and Seth beat The Rock and Roman Reigns, then on Night 2, Cody will be free of the bloodline. He is free to finish his story. He is free to finish his father's dream. Get it? American dream, his father's dream. Now, when The Rock and Roman reigns, and he was about to say when The Rock and Roman win, but Rock gets cut off at this point by the crowd chanting diarrhea at him. "You let me down, Dallas. You had 16,000 people in the building tonight. It was sold out, right? You got all these people hanging from the rafters, as Gorilla Monsoon would say. And you disappointed me. You let me down." When Rock and Roman beat their candy asses on Night 1, it's bloodline rules. which means anything goes. The Rock will do everything in his power to make sure he doesn't walk out, he being Cody, as the champion on night two. Seth Rollins interrupted, and he told Rock to shut the hell up. He said that they know the stakes, the future of this industry is on the line, but listen up, Mr. Midlife Crisis. And then the shades came off. Seth took the shades off, so now he's getting serious. He said, you had your time, you damn sure can't have ours. So, you want our answer? Biggest WrestleMania of all time? Biggest tag team match of all time? We accept. So Roman laughed at them, and he asked Cody, you're just going to let him answer for you? He said, you must be an idiot. You must be from Texas. And that got him some heat. He said, when I beat you at WrestleMania on Sunday, that's it. He goes, you don't get another shot. Your story is over. It's done for you now. Rock told them both to shut their mouths, said The Rock is going to make sure that Cody does not win and Seth's title goes away. Because he's on the TKO board, which means, Cody, I'm your boss, and Seth, I'm your boss. He goes, I'm both your bosses, okay? I'm the boss here. Who's the boss, right? Remember the TV show? I'm the boss. So he made that very clear. He said, if you do not complete this story, I want you to listen very closely. He said, if you do not complete this story, you will never get a shot at this championship again. Again, not so long as Roman Reigns is the champion, just you will not get another shot at this title again. This is family. Says Roman's grandfather is looking down. He's proud. The Rock's grandfather, the High Chief, looking down. He said, and your father, the American Dream, is looking down. Goes, isn't it true that you're the youngest of three? Says, isn't it true that your sister was a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys? Which I didn't know, by the way. I learned something new tonight. Apparently Cody's sister was a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys. He said, isn't it true that your brother is a Hall of Famer? Future, he corrected himself. Future Hall of Famer. And is it true that you're 20 years younger than your siblings? He goes, you know why? Because you were a mistake. And so Cody is kind of looking around and he starts to lift the mic up to his mouth. But then he tells The Rock, before he can tell The Rock anything, he slaps him right across the face. He got payback for the slap in Las Vegas last month. Finally, it only took a month. Slapped the taste right out of his mouth. And Roman walks over to The Rock, puts his hand on his shoulder. Rock tells him it's okay, right as they are going off the air. And that was the last shot that we saw, was the slap, Rock telling Roman it's okay, and then they cut to black. They did not leave themselves enough time to really get going. I don't know for a fact if they ran out of time, because I think that this was designed to play out exactly the way that it did. I don't think we were going to get a big pull apart or anything like that. I think they wanted to give you just enough, right? They already made it official, the tag match for WrestleMania, so it accomplished that goal. And the only other goal to accomplish was for Cody to get that smack in on The Rock. He smacked The Rock on SmackDown. So they did that. But then it was very quick that they went off the air. So they did not leave themselves enough time to really let it breathe, you know, the finish, or to fit in more dialogue. Cody didn't really have a whole lot to say. Seth Rollins had more to say than Cody, which was good for him, because Seth Rollins is the one who has been made out to look like a fucking loser throughout this entire thing. Roman has buried him at every opportunity and buried the world heavyweight title. The Rock has been eviscerating this man, burying him. Seth Rollins has buried himself throughout this entire process, back to when he was begging Cody Rhodes to pick him after he won the Royal Rumble. Pick me to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship. Let's do the dance at WrestleMania. Why the champion has to beg for the challenger? I mean, for a WrestleMania main event, that's completely ass backwards. So at every turn here, once CM Punk got hurt, it fucked everything up for Seth Rollins. And he has been made to look less than at every turn. He needed to have a strong night tonight. His attire aside, whatever he was wearing, put that on the side. I thought he did a good job. He spoke up. He had bass in his voice. He got up in front of The Rock, face to face. He told him to shut his mouth. He said, you're having a midlife crisis, which I thought was a good line, because Rock comes out there looking like he's having a midlife crisis. It's coming out in the shirts and the vest like it's 1998. So I thought that was good. The diarrhea stuff, at least he didn't mention it tonight. The crowd did. Hopefully that dies after tonight, because that was just awful. Well, I mean, the moment it came out of his mouth on Monday night, I just facepalmed. So that needs to die in a fire and go away. So I thought it was good for Seth, at least, to, you know, be able to come out with some fire in his belly and say what he said. So that was good. But I still felt like when this segment was over, it just felt underwhelming. Like there should have been more. They promoted this all week. We got them in the ring together for the first time. And it just felt like it wasn't enough. But they left you wanting more, which is the whole point. They don't want to give everything away. I get that. I wasn't expecting physicality necessarily. It just felt like there could have been more to this. They didn't have enough meat on the bone for what should have been the centerpiece of this show tonight. And so I actually felt like if you were going to have a segment that ran 30 plus minutes, we had that 40-minute segment, right, the previous week, then you should have done the same thing here. You should have eliminated something from the show or scaled back on something and left yourself even 5 more minutes with these 4 in the ring, because they come out and yeah, they come out and everybody goes crazy for The Rock when he makes his entrance. And, you know, in WWE, it's all about presentation, right? With WWE, it's as much, if not more, to use a JR phrase, about the sizzle than it is the steak. It's all about the pageantry and the pyro and the entrances and the camera shots and the fucking graphics they put up on the screen that they love so much. It's all about that, right? I get that. That's what WWE loves. And the fans dig it in the arena. But when you have more than half the segment devoted to entrances and standing around, and then you have to throw a commercial in there, and you leave very little time for actual substance and dialogue, it's going to feel underwhelming. And I like the segment still, but it still felt underwhelming to me. There could have been more to it. So this tag team match now is official for night one of WrestleMania. And they took it one step further. Like I said, I didn't think it was necessary for Rock to have to go out there and say that if you don't win the title, you're never going to get another shot. I understand they're trying to stack the deck against Cody. I get that, but to me, all you're doing is telegraphing the finish of the match. And even if a lot of people already figure that Cody is going to win, and they should, because this is tailor-made for a Cody comeback win, like the Rocky story, you know, here in Philadelphia. And Cody, by the way, was just announced he's going to be the main face of this new liquor sponsorship. I think it's, is it vodka? It's some kind of brand of vodka, I think, that WWE is now going to be advertising. Cody apparently is going to be the face of that sponsorship. So they're planning on him. You know, they're going to roll that out with him. Like, he's the guy. Yeah, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the champ. He's going to be the guy going forward. But why telegraph it if you don't have to? That's the thing that bugs me when they do that sort of thing. So I would not have done that. But outside of that final segment, a very missable episode of SmackDown tonight. There really isn't anything else I could recommend that you have to go back and watch, or if you came in late, only saw the main event, you know what? You saw what you needed to see. Now, WrestleVotes earlier today had a very interesting tweet. WrestleVotes said that according to sources, the much-anticipated return of the Rock concert could light up next week's SmackDown Live from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm told this idea has been brewing for weeks, with a possible announcement of it tonight on SmackDown. They did not announce anything for The Rock next week. He is going to be on the show. They're sold out next week, I think, as well in Memphis, or close to sold out, if they're not already sold out. It's been a while since we got a Rock concert. I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been a while. So we'll see if they go through with that idea. It kind of would make sense if Rock is going to be there, because is Rock just going to come out and just cut another regular promo, right? We already got a Rock promo last week. We got the face-off with all 4 men tonight. If Cody and Seth are not going to be there again next week, what else is Rock going to do, right? Let him do a Rock concert. I'm all for it. If Fine with me. It's been too long since we've had a rock concert. Wheatley Vodka. Thank you. That's the name of the brand. Wheatley Vodka. Cody Rhodes is going to be the face of a vodka brand. How about that? We got Cody is the face of a vodka brand. We have Prime bottles on the ring mats. This is a new day here for WWE. So here's a Twitter poll. Four votes. 4 stars. 1,400 votes almost. We have 4 stars here. 62.6%. Give this show 4 stars. 23.5% 3 stars. 8% 2 stars. And 6% give tonight's show a whopping 1 star. You know how many stars Mr. Meltzer over there gave Sting's final match? 4.75 stars. You know what else got 4.75 stars? One of the greatest matches I've ever seen. Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker, WrestleMania 25, also got 4.75 stars. What does it take to get that extra quarter of a star? I'm just curious. It doesn't bother me. It's one man's opinion, but what does it take to get that extra quarter of a star? Will Ospreay, I think his match got 6 stars or 5.75. So he gets all the stars, I guess, and there's not enough for everybody else. I guess that's the way it is. Just always been so very weird to me. All right, let's take a look at your super chats here, see what you guys have to say. Thank you, as always, for the support. I do appreciate it very much. Go back here. I don't even know where these start and where these stop, but let's see here. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. All right. Now, this is not the beginning, but we'll start from here and we'll work our way back. This journey called life that we are on here. Thank you. I loved that Cody smacked the shit out of The Rock. Well, he had to. He had to get that slap back at some point. Slap or a punch or something. Alex with the $10 super chat. Brother Solo, with the Cody Bloodline story being the biggest storyline right now, how do you think other members of the roster are feeling when the same storyline is in the main event of both nights? I think that they understand that right now this is the dominant story in the company, and as long as they get a spot on the show, then they should be, you know, at least happy to get a spot on the show, because there's going to be some people who get left off the card this year. Those are the people that are going to be upset. People who get on WrestleMania will be happy enough to have a spot. The reality is, if it wasn't going to be these guys in the main event of Night 1, it was going to be Seth Rollins and CM Punk, and then CM Punk got hurt. And then, outside of that, there was no other chance that any other match was going to get that main event spot on Night 1. Bayley and Io Sky, even though that story has been kind of developing over a period of months, that was never going to headline Night 1 of WrestleMania. Never. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley could have been in the running for the main event of Night 1. I could see them maybe being a little pissed off about that. I could see that. But I had two people email me, asking me about Bayley and Io, and not being happy about the fact that even though Bayley won the Royal Rumble, she should get the main event of WrestleMania, and she's not. She won the Royal Rumble, but at no point did I think that Bayley was actually going to get the main event of WrestleMania. At no point did I ever think that. Toby, which is worse, Bleacher Report or Peacock? Love you for all that you do. I hate them both. I think they both suck. But they're two very different services, because Bleacher Report, I just log in, I watch what I want to watch, and that's it. Peacock has all the other WWE content. So I try to make use of the search function, and their search function is terrible. And the way they have things listed by seasons is just, it's so... The user interface is just not very friendly. So, two completely different uses for each service, and they both suck. I don't like either one of them. This journey called life, I feel like the Prime logo will be a bit distracting. After a while, it won't be. You'll get used to it very quickly. Libido Bell says, why doesn't Blue Chew sponsor Solomonster? It rhymes and the jokes write themselves. I don't know. Write to them and let them know. It's the weirdest thing to me. They're on like every podcast. And, you know, never had a Blue Chew sponsorship, so. Then again, I don't need Blue Chew, so. I guess the ones who advertise it, they have a need for it. I don't have a need for it, so maybe that's why. And he also says, Austin's the best-selling for March because of 316 Day. It's not even March. They break it down by week. And so maybe that played a role in it, maybe not. Austin is always in the top chart, though, so whether it was that or not, who knows, but he's always in that top 10 chart. Chris Mikesell, do you think Stephanie McMahon approved that slap Cody delivered to The Rock's candy ass? Oh, that was no Stephanie McMahon slap. That was no Stephanie McMahon slap, not even close. I always say the slap that I always think of when I think of Stephanie, for all the people that she has slapped over the years, and she has slapped a lot of them. Okay, it's the one that happened backstage. It was on Raw back in 2000. And it was when she slapped Chris Benoit. The sound, and maybe because they were backstage and not out in the ring. In fact, that I'm sure that played a role in it. You hear that echo. She smacked this guy so hard across the face, and his head snapped right back, and he just laughed in her face. It was disturbing. He looked sadistic. But that sound, that sound that slap made, I can still hear it. Like, it reverberated. To this day, I still remember that slap. The Juliet says, check out Good Mic Work with Wrestling with Regrets, Brian Zane. They also collaborated, that's right. Good Mic Work had me on. We did the first collaboration on his channel for the month of March. And I believe he had Brian Zane on today. I think it may have dropped today, so yeah, definitely check that out. Also says congrats to Dirty Dom on his marriage. That's right, Dominic Mysterio got married the other day. He got booed when he tried to speak at his own wedding, which is the greatest thing I've seen all week. Actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. It's the second greatest thing that I saw all week. The greatest thing that I saw all week was Haku on Dark Side of the Ring, belly laughing, being shown the Shockmaster segment for the first time. And by the way, I will have a full recap of that Dark Side of the Ring episode on Earthquake, John Tenta, on the podcast on Sunday, so you definitely want to make sure you check that out. If you have enjoyed my past reviews for Dark Side of the Ring, you'll enjoy this one as well. DEH Sires, I hate that Cody wears a suit all the time. Well, what would you like him to wear? What would you like him to come out wearing? Definitely not what Seth Rollins was wearing tonight. I'd rather have him wearing a suit. The New Movement says, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. I believe he was he basically the father of Dragon Ball, I believe. I think he was in his late 60s. He did pass away this week. I did see that mentioned. So I was sad to hear that. Saw a few stories about that this week, actually. We got some early ones here that are not listed. Let me pick up with these. Hey, Drew. Drew McIncock says, GWO for life. I agree. Shout out to all of our channel members. Lady Fire Panda. Let me reload this here. Why is it? It's all formatted weird. Can't see the entire super chat. Let me go here. Let's go read Fire Panda's super chat here. Lady Fire Panda, thank you for the super chat. She says, imagine it is the WrestleMania 40 main event. Cody is down. All of Cody's allies have been taken out. And it looks like all hope is lost and nothing can stop the bloodline. And then the glass shatters. I think that'd be great. There's only one problem with that idea. Is that he would have to probably ride his ATV down to the ring, because you know how long these aisleways can be at WrestleMania. And he's got two knee braces on, he's 60 years old. It would take a while for Austin to do the march down to the ring. In fact, by the time Austin would march down to the ring, I think the Bloodline would have regrouped, and they would be ready for him. So he would probably have to drive his ATV down to the ring, but it would get a gigantic reaction. I mean, people would lose their minds if the glass shattered at WrestleMania, and we got one more stunner and stunner oversell from The Rock. How great would that be? I'm all for it. I said, look, man, if it ends up being Bloodline rules, they gotta overbook the shit out of that match. And just have all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Just go all the way with it. Just as long as they get to the right finish this time, unlike last year. And Fire Panda also gifted 10 channel memberships earlier. So you can thank Fire Panda. We got 10 new members here on this channel. WWE Wrestling and Gaming, hot take. I think John Cena should get the Warrior Award at some point for all of the kids' charity. They may give it to him 1 year. Down the road, I could see that, after he's officially done. Prince Vegeta 95, on a non-wrestling note, I would like to say rest in peace to the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama. His stories have gotten me through a lot of hard times, listening while playing 2K24, happy Friday. Donnie Yasu, Rock is starting to sound like his good buddy Vin Diesel with all of this family talk. That's right. That's right. Vin Diesel is always talking about family in those Fast and Furious movies. Let's see, we got some more early ones from before. Before I pick back up with this list here. Orioles peak. Fox sucks. Also, could it be Tiffany against Jade at WrestleMania? Ooh, no, I wouldn't do that. I think that's a bad idea. I think that would be a bad idea. No, you can't do that match yet. Retro KOH. I won't be live for the stream, but I am happy to announce that my baby girl, Selena, is finally born. Everyone enjoy SmackDown and the review for me. See you all later. Well, how about that? Retro KOH is a brand new father to a beautiful baby girl named Selena. So everybody toast in the chat. Retro KOH. That's awesome. Congratulations, my friend. Holiday 197, The Rock being in the WrestleMania buildup has hurt Cody, who is playing second fiddle. Should have named Rock as the special guest referee on the go-home show. Well, then they wouldn't have been able to get Rock on television selling out buildings and boosting ratings for them for 6 weeks. That's why they're doing it. That's why they're doing it this way. They want to maximize whatever they can squeeze out of The Rock. Before he leaves and goes away again, they're going to try to squeeze it out of him. Dethronic 78, are the eyes of the bull for The Rock red when he's a heel and blue when he's a face? You know, somebody pointed that out to me the other day, that last month, early on, before he officially went heel, the eyes on the Brahma bull on the entranceway were blue. And I think now they're red when he comes out. And I hadn't noticed that, but I think you're onto something there. Orhan, when you say Okada Ospreay are the top two in the world, do you mean in-ring, or do you think they're better overall than someone like Roman, Drew, or Cody? It means from a match perspective, nobody bell-to-bell can put in the work that Okada and Will Ospreay can put in. That's what it means. So now let's pick up here with this list. Okay, those are the early ones. We got them out of the way. So let's pick up with our list here. And go to our boy Nick Grosso with the 999. I do agree they should do Bianca and Tiffany, or Bianca against Tiffany, and Jade and Naomi against the Kabuki Warriors, because it would be a crime to leave Tiffany off WrestleMania. Also, your thoughts on the U.S. Express going into the Hall of Fame. I think it's great. You know, they have their place in history, former tag team champions. Never forget that Real American was made for them. Real American was supposed to be their theme song, and it ended up being co-opted for Hulk Hogan instead. but I think it's a deserving induction. And it means we have Bray Wyatt's father and his uncle going into the Hall of Fame. Would not at all shock me if Bray was the last name they announced for the Hall of Fame this year. But ultimately, it's up to the family. If the family is prepared for that and okay with that, then I think he would end up being the last name announced. But, you know, they show tonight that we've had four names so far. All this week, all four were announced this week. Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, Mike Rotunda, and Barry Windham. I don't know how many more we're going to get. I feel like we may be at the end here. Like, there may be one more name and that's it. Because I don't remember last year's Hall of Fame class having more than maybe five people max. I think last year had four or five people. So I don't know that we're going to get many more names announced. I think they may be keeping the Hall of Fame classes very small going forward. Because remember, you know, they do the Hall of Fames now. They tape them in the arena after SmackDown. So that Friday, when they do SmackDown, the night before WrestleMania Night 1, they're going to be filming the Hall of Fame immediately after SmackDown. So SmackDown goes from 8 to 10. They don't want the Hall of Fame going probably longer than 90 minutes to 2 hours max. They don't want 6-7 people going into the Hall of Fame. They don't want to keep people in the building until fucking midnight or 12:30 in the morning. So I think that's part of the reason why they want to keep the classes relatively small. Let's see here. We got Andre Israel. Question for everyone. With your life on the line, only one group of security can protect you. Do you choose WWE security or AEW security geeks? I think you're dead either way. If you are relying upon WWE or AEW security to keep you safe and save your life, you better start writing your last will and testament right now. Get your affairs together. Talk to the family. Make sure that you know who's going to get your stereo system, who's going to get your old LJN action figures, who's going to get all the stuff in your man cave, right? Consult with a lawyer. Get it all taken care of, because your time on this earth is about to come to an end. Adrian Pfeiffer. Remember, WWE had a stipulation where John Cena was fired in the Nexus feud, and he appeared every week on Raw. It's not guaranteed. We know the finish. WWE never sticks by those stipulations anyway. Maybe so, but we know the finish. There's only one finish. Any other finish would be the wrong finish. And the right finish is Roman Reigns loses his championship at WrestleMania. And that is the only acceptable finish. Fox Star Killer, WWE Network was far better as its own streaming service than being part of Peacock. 100%. I like the layout of the WWE Network. Things were a lot easier to search for. I thought the UI overall looked a lot better. It was more user-friendly. It was easier to navigate. Without a doubt. Chris Mikesell, can we have a series of Haku reacting to wrestling bloopers? I feel like there would be an audience for that. I really do. I really think there would be an audience for that. But the problem with that is, though, after a while, it would become forced. You know? Like, you watch his reaction to the Shockmaster thing, and it's like, you can see tears in the man's eyes. Like, he's not that good of an actor. Like, he had never seen it before. And he sees him fall flat on his face and the helmet falls off and he is just fucking dying. He's dying from laughter. This scary man that you've always heard from people over the years is the last person in the world you'd ever want to mess with. And you see him, like, just, again, belly laughing. It's just, it's the greatest thing in the world. It really is. Jazz Jackrabbit. Rock's lightning intro was lit. What about mine? You didn't like my effect? Don't think we would have seen with Kevin Dunn. Do you think Rock's team had something to do with that? And then fuck Kevin Dunn. I think Rock had something to do with that. Rock's coming up with all of his own shit. Rock has a lot of power. It's not just a storyline. Rock has a lot of power. There's talk that Rock may have had influence over the Hall of Fame this year. We'll see who else gets inducted, but That was a Rock thing. Rock is fully invested and involved in everything that he does on TV. Mike, with the $2 super chat, I think Cena might get involved somehow at WrestleMania. I agree. I think Cena's going to be there. Cena was on, was it Jimmy Kimmel? Might have been Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon. We have two Jimmys. We have Jimmy Fallon, we have Jimmy Kimmel, we have Little Jimmy, Jimmy Carter. Well, I can't believe he's still alive, but God bless him. He's still alive and kicking. Yeah, Cena said that he's got that day open. I don't think he'd be saying that unless he was planning on being a part of WrestleMania. Darth Panic, what is your favorite wrestling entrance theme? Mine is The Brood. I've said this many times. Mine is Real American. Jazz Jackrabbit, if we don't go 3 for 3 on Be the Booker, I am slapping... No, you're not. Don't say that. That's stupid. Well, now I'm going to make sure that... We try to go 3 for 3 here and Be the Booker. Thank you for the super chats. Appreciate it. Cena in MK1. It's not Cena, though, right? It's Peacemaker. I thought Peacemaker is in Mortal Kombat 1. The goal tonight for Be the Booker was 450 likes, and we are currently sitting at 507. We have a lot more than that here on this stream right now, so hit that thumbs up if you have not already done so. It does help out the video quite a bit. And let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
All right, be the booker time here. We're going to start off with the ladies this time. We shake up the order every now and then, so we're going to kick things off here with women's be the booker. Maybe we'll have better luck. Maybe our luck with this will be different here. Remind me again what we did on Wednesday. I don't remember. But we kick things off here with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, the former AEW Women's World Champion. Britt Baker. Britt Baker has been off television for quite a while. I don't know when we're going to see her back. Shout out to Nier. It's good to hear from you, brother. Britt Baker one-on-one with Tiffany Stratton. Oh, it's Tiffy time here in Be the Booker. It's Tiffy time. There's a match for you. Britt Baker and Tiffany Stratton. Now, speaking of Mike Rotunda, there he is right there. You see that Money Incorporated is one of the teams here in Tag Team Be the Booker, so let's push the button and take this for a spin. You know, I don't think the U.S. Express is in here, though. I should add them. I don't think Wyndham and Rotunda are in here. I have to add them. They were former Tag Team Champions, defending at the very first WrestleMania, which is probably the main reason why they're going into the Hall of Fame this year. It's good to see that Barry Windham is able to go into the Hall of Fame. He's had some real health issues over the years. I think he had a heart attack. I know he had a heart attack. He might have had more than one. I don't remember. I remember the video that Bray Wyatt posted, actually, talking about his Uncle Barry and what happened to him the last time he had a heart attack. And the bystander who saved his uncle's life. All right, here we go. Tag Team Be the Booker. We have the Nasty Boys. Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags. Jerry Sags is one of the talking heads on Dark Side of the Ring this week. Talking about Earthquake. And we got the Nasty Boys going to be taking on Private Party. The Nasty Boys and Private Party is one of those generational matches that I just would love to see. Just out of morbid curiosity. I feel bad for Private Party because I feel like the Nasties would take liberties with them. And would beat the hell out of them. Hey, Ice and Kaylee, welcome to the channel. For some reason, I like that match. Let's make it a street fight between Private Party and the Nasty Boys. Isn't that wild? That is a wild match. It'd be a real test for Private Party, I'll tell you that. All right, here we go. Men's be the booker. Pity City. Oh boy, the pit stop. The pit stop. Second only to the stink face as the most disgusting move in all of wrestling. Actually, you know what? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure which is worse. I'm not sure. Because at least with the stink face, you could turn away and, you know, you got... At least there's some fabric there that's kind of hopefully blocking the crack from your face. With the pit stop, I mean, you're taking Brian, usually Brian Knobbs, you're taking his armpit, his sweaty, stinking armpit, right to the face. Ugh. Well, I'm going to lose my dinner just thinking about it. All right, here we go. Men's be the booker. We begin with, oh, it's Salmon Jacket Mark Henry. The best Mark Henry. I got a lot left in the tank, Mark Henry. The greatest swerve in wrestling history right there. How he didn't win a fucking award for that, I'll never know. Salmon Jacket Mark Henry. I love it. Here we go. Drum roll. Mark Henry. Take it on. Andrade El Idolo. You take Hall of Pain Mark Henry against modern day Andrade. I think you got yourself a pretty decent match right there. The world's strongest man and Andrade El Idolo. And that, of course, means that we have ourselves here on a Friday night a clean sweep. Sweep them on out. That's the sound I like to hear. I like to hear that sound at the end of Be the Booker. That means we had a great night. That's right. There'll be no slapping tonight for whoever. I already forgot who it was. Who dropped that awful super chat. Was it Jazz? That's not cool, Jazz. Not cool. I smoked a lot of weed. Oh my God, look who's back. I smoked a lot of weed. Never forget the first time that I had to read a message from I smoke a lot of weed when I botched it, and it took me like 10 minutes, it felt like, to figure out what that name was. I thought it was coffee. I was like, Ice Mocha. That sounds pretty good. I go, wait a minute. Lot of weed? Oh, I get it now. That's like one of the all-time moments here on these streams. Anyway, I can't believe he's back. Solo wanted to say that I used to drink 4 to 6 beers a day. And 2 weeks ago, I drank 2 beers. And the next morning, I woke up feeling like a car hit me. Feeling healthier. Been a while, but always listen. Well, look, that's what happens sometimes, right? You get older, you can't hold your liquor anymore, you feel like shit, you feel bloated, you get heartburn, and it's like, you know what? Can't do what I used to do. And then he says here, which means I am not drinking really anymore. Good night. Well, you know what you can drink, though? You could drink Ice Mocha, an Ice Mocha Latte. How about that? All right? I don't drink coffee, but you can drink an iced mocha and have that instead. Well, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you're still listening. So chime in a little more often so I know you're still with us. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Why are people ignoring the fact that Damian Priest can cash in on Cody, and if the bloodline is banned, Nia Jax can cost Cody instead and then just join the group? What are you proposing here? Nia Jax and the bloodline? No. We don't need Nia Jax in the Bloodline. We don't need Tamina in the Bloodline. Naomi, we don't even need Naomi in the Bloodline, frankly. But I would at least be okay with that. There's probably a story around that, and she could be with Jimmy, and it would make sense in that respect, I guess, married into the family. But no, we don't need Nia Jax in the Bloodline. It's terrible. But yes, Damian Priest can cash in on Cody Rhodes. That is true. DEH says, Undertaker needed to no-sell the superkick to get that extra quarter of a star for the match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. I guess so. I guess there weren't enough kicking out of finishing maneuvers in that match. Had that gone on for just a little bit longer, maybe Dave would have given it the full Monty. Maybe they could have gotten the full 5 stars. Anyway, thank you for hanging out with me here on a Friday night. We are going to be live again on Monday after Raw. But before that, we have episode 852 of the Solid Monster Sounds Off. That's going to be dropping on Sunday afternoon. There is a ton of news to cover. We're going to talk about the names going into the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about Sammy Guevara's suspension, and Kevin Kelly was apparently fired from AEW. And I got some more thoughts on Sting and some of the fallout from Revolution. And Okada and all this talk about what Okada is or isn't or may not be making. I got a lot to say about that. I'll leave you with that and let you ruminate on that. And so all that and a full Dark Side of the Ring review on the Earthquake episode, which was, I thought it was a very good episode. Very out of the ordinary for Dark Side of the Ring, but I'm glad they did it. And a very rough ending. Got very, very sad. But I feel like his is a story that should be told, because even though he worked as a main eventer there for a period of time with Hogan on top, it was a very short period of time. And he is a name that can be easily forgotten to time. And I would hate for that to happen. I hope that doesn't happen. Maybe one day he'll get his time in the Hall of Fame. But It's a good thing that they did an episode focusing on his life and career, because he actually had a very interesting career and a very interesting way that he got into the wrestling business. And we'll talk all about that on the podcast on Sunday. So I hope you will tune in and join me then. Until then, be well. Stay safe. We got a couple more super chats here. You trying to keep me around? You trying to keep me around? Is that what you're doing? Devin from New Jersey? Drop it a $4.99. Devin says, my dad is still adamant that a star of Orton or Punk's level needs to be the one to dethrone Roman Reigns and not Cody. What do you say to this? Well, I don't want to cause any family strife, but if I were you, I would do what Cody did to Roman tonight. I would go, hey, Dad, and I would go backhand right across the face and smack some sense into him. No, don't do that. Don't assault your father. I disagree. Your father is wrong. Your father is wrong, and Cody Rhodes is the correct choice to win the championship from Roman Reigns. I don't know why you would want to waste that on someone who doesn't need it. Randy Orton does not need to be the one to beat Roman, although I do think Randy will be champion again at some point. He may beat Cody. Right? You get a Randy-Cody feud going. But no, he should not be the one to beat Roman Reigns. Creflo Half Dollar. Hey, Solo. Sorry for the last-minute message. Just want to let you know that as of April 1st, Google Podcasts will be no more. Yeah, I let everybody know about that 2 months ago when they first announced, maybe 3 months ago. It's as of April 2nd, I believe, is the actual date. So it's a good reminder for anybody who listens to the podcast on Apple. Not Apple. Google. On Google Podcasts. Apple is by far the platform that most people listen to the podcast on. Spotify is number 2. Google, I don't even know if Google is number 3. It might be. Maybe number 4. But if you listen through Google Podcasts, they will no longer be updating anyone's podcast episodes as of April 2nd. You will have to find a different way to listen to your podcast, so just be aware of that. Jazz Jackrabbit, thinking about old school, and 40 seemed to be the cutoff. The cutoff back in those days for being done. Do you think there is an age now when someone is done? I don't. I don't think that there is an age where someone is done. Frankly, it wasn't the cutoff back then either. I think you could say in their 40s, not necessarily 40 itself. But I just think that the wrestlers now are in much better physical condition than they were back then. They're active longer. I think a big part of it also is just the fact not only they take care of themselves better, which they do, but also they're not running the same schedule they did back then. I mean, those guys, you got to remember, especially at, like, if you think WWE, the schedule they were running back then in the 80s and even into the early part of the 90s was inhumane. It was an inhumane schedule. I mean, there were guys working 6-7 days a week sometimes. And they were working on those hard boxing rings that had no give. I mean, you would see guys doing suplexes and all kinds of moves, and the ring wouldn't even budge. There was no give to it. Now imagine taking bumps on that ring 5-6 days a week, every week for years at a time. It's no wonder they ended up so crippled up, or guys were on pain pills. It was a hard life, you know, and it not that it isn't hard now too to be on the road and work the schedule that they work, and you're still taking bumps, but I don't think it was anything like the way it was back then. And so it shortened your wrestling lifespan, and it's not like that now. And so it doesn't surprise me that people are working later into their careers. I think you have people right now who are active in AEW, even who are in their 50s, who are still going strong. Look at Sting. Now, he wasn't working a full-time schedule, but you look at Sting, 65 years old in a few weeks. He could have gone another year if he wanted to, right? Now, that might be an anomaly, but I don't think there's any specific age. They say age is but a number, and I think there's something to that. Or maybe that's just me saying it because I get older every year, and so eventually I'll be in that. Actually, you can kind of say I'm in that category now. But eventually, I'll be in that 50 and above category. And I'm probably not that far away from it. So I don't want to believe that there is a number by which you have to stop doing what you're doing. Like, there's no cutoff for being a podcaster. So I could still be sitting here with all of you when I'm shriveled up and 71 years old. You know, welcoming you to SmackDown! SmackDown! What's that noise? That's going to be me. How do I work this thing? Will you still be tuned in to me if I'm 71 years old sitting here reviewing SmackDown? If I'm still sitting here at 71 reviewing SmackDown, just kill me. Based Beerus says, buy or sell Okada or Rollins? Oh, that's a real question. Okada. I smoke a lot of weed, says, thanks, Solo. Agree with you on the bloating. Yeah, you drink too much beer. You feel all bloated. It's like, who wants to feel like that? I'm very happy to see that most of you would still be watching me, even if I was 71 years old sitting here and doing this. Very happy to hear that. Got some loyal fans here. I like to see that. Zay says, why? 70-year-old Solo says, why is Roman still champion? Roman's going to still be the champion. He's going to be out there looking like fucking Sika. Fucking gray beard, probably down to his feet, coming out there, all pruned up.
Acknowledge me! Acknowledge me!
Coughing up blood in the middle of the ring. Base Beerus says, Rubber Chicken will make a reappearance at WrestleMania. How, you know what, though? What if somebody shows up in a Rubber Chicken costume and costs Cody the championship? How fucked up would that be? And he also says WWE got their 100 million subs. Yeah, we got some catching up to do here. WWE just got their red, it's like a red diamond. You get a silver play button when you hit 100,000 subs on YouTube. They got a red diamond they showed on SmackDown tonight. Triple H unboxed it. And they got a red diamond because they hit 100 million subs. We got a little ways to go before we hit 100 million subs. You guys got to get me to 100 million subs. All right, thank you again. His beard is looking very gray these days. Roman looks, he looks older, man, than when this title run started. This title run has aged him, which I don't know how, because he's barely ever there. I said the other night, we were talking about the fact that Roman looks, you know, quite a bit older facially than he did when this run started, but I said that's what happens when you have two sets of baby twins at home. It will age you. It will age you very quickly. Anybody with kids will tell you that they will age you. But when you have two sets of twins, it's got like five kids. That'll definitely age you. Hey, the Mount Vernon kid checking in. Wants to say hello. Not in our home state, New York. He's in Washington, D.C. So shout out to the Mount Vernon kid. He needs Just for Men. Roman needs to put in his beard whatever Kevin Nash was putting in his hair whenever he used to make a comeback. Remember when he came back as Diesel in the Royal Rumble in 2011? I said, boy, he used to have, he used to call him the Silver Fox. He walked out there, his hair was all jet black. Roman needs some of that in his beard. Do I think Stephanie McMahon comes back to WWE with Vince gone? No. I don't. Thank you again for spending some time with me. I will see you live on Monday for the Raw review. And, of course, check out episode 852. All right, I'll see you guys soon. Have a great weekend. Take care, guys.